Now let's open our minds and hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. Good morning. So today, if you may have noticed as you came in, children in various places of serving this morning. And so periodically at New Beginnings, usually annually, we do a Kids Serve Sunday. Well, today is Kids Serve Sunday. And so our children are literally in every area of ministry except this one. And so I'm not really giving that up yet. But what we want to do is we're going to kick off our service today and have one of our young people come and pray for us. Where is Levi? Come on, Levi. I can see you blending in back there with all the adults. You're so tall. Come on up the stairs over here. Come on, give Levi a hand. Let's see. Does this work? Hey, this works. Come see. Levi is going to pray for us to start the service today. You hold that up by your mouth and pray loud, pray proud. Come on.
Dear Lord, I pray that we have a good day and that everybody can just embrace the love of God and let Him live in them and let them just worship Him, and that everybody that is sick will get better and feel well. And that everybody in the hospital, maybe they're hurt or they just have problems, then maybe they can feel better too. And that in school, that people can do good, and that during work, that they can not get stressed out and do good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Levi. Well, you heard him. No getting stressed out at work anymore. All right. If you have your Bibles, hold them up and let's make our Bible proclamation. Say it loud with me. Say it proud. Come on, go. Whether I see the results immediately or not, this is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm continuing the message series today entitled Identify, where I'll be discussing our identity in Christ. Listen, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, when you begin to trust Him to save you, your life is then transferred from being in Adam to being in Christ. You say, well, I don't even know who Adam is. How can I be in Adam? When you were born by your parents on this earth, you were born into the sin of Adam. And because you were born into the sin of Adam, you were destined for a place called hell. That was your final resting place, so to speak. And then the day that you decided to trust Jesus in His finished work on the cross and His death, burial, and resurrection, and you asked Him to save you, you transferred your address from hell to heaven. And I thought that would get a little more excitement. I mean, you just went to heaven from hell, and you're like, all right. Now, remember what happened in the garden to break fellowship with God was God told Adam, Adam, you can eat from any tree in the garden, just not that one. But what did Adam and Eve want to do? Eat from the tree they weren't supposed to eat from, which is human nature, right? We have that sin nature that always wants to do something that's in opposition to what the authority over us is asking us not to do. Don't ask me to repeat that. I just made that up. If you could record that and print it out for me so I can have it for next service, because I'll never remember it. But God, right? But God. There's always the but gods of the Bible. But God made a way for you to transfer your residence from hell to heaven by trusting in the finished work of Jesus. We know that Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, here it is, everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
Does that mean everybody? Is anybody excluded from the everyone? Anyone. No one's excluded from the everyone, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, my goal through this series is to get you to become so comfortable with who God says you are that regardless of what anyone else says about you, it will have no effect on you. Amen? Studies show that what you believe to be true about yourself typically or ultimately is reflected in your behavior. Now, my goal at New Beginnings is to get you to see what God sees, to get you to look beyond the superficial, beyond what people are labeling you or what you've been labeled, and begin to get you to see what God sees that he already put in you. Now, when I started New Beginnings 11 years ago now, hard to believe, I bet, 11 years ago. 11 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the greatest hindrance to people following my plan and purpose for their lives is they carry the sin and shame of their past. And the sin and shame of their past and all the things associated with that keep them from living in and experiencing the freedom that I paid for on the cross. And so my goal through this series is to get you to begin to see your new identity and begin to walk in that new identity. And along with that is going to come freedom. It's going to come victory. Amen? Week number one, I started this series talking about the fact that you are a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. Now, don't say this part, but I want you to remember that if you're a new creation, that means the old creation is gone. Week number two, last week I talked to you about the fact that you're a child of God. And as a child of God, you're an heir of Christ. That means that everything that Jesus has or everything that Jesus is about is yours. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that you are, this is a fact, that you are no longer a slave to sin. No longer a slave to sin. Let me say it again. You are no longer a slave to sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage, and then I'm going to preach that passage to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer, underline this, be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Amen. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. As born again. Yes, you can give the Lord a hand. That is, let me tell you something. If you want to get free, go read Romans. We're going to read all of Romans, but go read Romans 5, 6, and 7. That is the most freeing part of the entire New Testament. Trust what I'm telling you. You'll be blessed. You'll just read it over and over and absorb what God is telling you. As born-again Christian people, hopefully you realize that as part and parcel of your salvation, you are now covered and supplied with an abundance of God's grace. Now, the grace of God is just the unearned favor of God. It's God pouring out on us that which we do not deserve. He gave you what you didn't deserve. You didn't earn it. There's nothing you could do to get it. You can't do anything to get more of it. He just says, you know what? You want to live in the grace of God? Here you go. Bang. You got it. I died for you. And when you receive it, when you receive me, you walk in the grace of God. Amen? Now, the word grace is the Greek word charis, and it means gift. It just means that God gave us a gift. Keep in mind that we have this incredible gift because someone paid the price for you to have it. I want you to know grace isn't free. In order for us to have grace, Something had to die. Someone had to die. A big sacrifice. God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, died so that you and I could experience the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in nature, in order for there to be new life, if you go into the forest, and you know anything about forestry, I know nothing, I'm just telling you what I read. If you go into the forest, in order for the forest to continue to grow and thrive year after year after year, trees have to die. So they grow to a certain point, they die, they rot, they fall to the ground, and that rot goes into the ground, causes fertilization to happen, leaves come out on the new trees, and those they produce pollen, and the pollen is carried to other parts of the forest, and more trees grow, and on and on and on, and new beginnings are happening every day. Amen?
Amen.
Little shameless plug for new beginnings. Now, as I said last week, we each have an old nature. Anybody remember? I got one of those, and boy, it sure is hard to get rid of that thing. I want you to understand something. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You see the difference? See, we think that when we commit sin is when we became a sinner. You were a sinner from birth. You had no choice in the matter. You just sin because that's what you were. Because you are what you do. You do what you are, right? You had no choice. So often we focus on the act of sin and being the reason that someone might go to hell. Now I want you to understand this. Please hear me. The only thing that sends a man or a woman to hell, young person, old person, whatever, is a life that dies void of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. So if you live your life, gain the whole world, but forfeit your own soul, you're going to spend your eternity in a place called hell. But the moment that you accept Jesus, your residence is transferred, right? Now, just like Jesus had to die for you to access his grace, there are some things in our lives, though, that must die in order for us to experience the fullness of his grace. You have the grace. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you wonder why it is that you're not living in the fullness. Why am I not living in the abundant life that Jesus died and paid for? Why is that? Because there's some things in your life that have to die in order for you to experience that. Now, we all know, we probably all heard at one point early in our Christian walk, well-meaning Christian people give you the rules of Christianity. Anybody ever heard the rules? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't mess with women who do. Or girls, don't mess with guys who do, right? But let's be honest. We've all heard those rules, and it's just, it's well-meaning Christian people, man. It's like, just don't do these things, do these things. But I want you to know, doing these things or not doing these things is not what makes you right with God. What makes you right with God was the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're right with God because Jesus paid the price for it to be so. Now, in order for sin to no longer have mastery over your life, some things in your life must die. How many of you ever noticed that sin is not too eager to leave? Only me, right? Am I the only one? Come on, raise your hand. See, we know that sin just, it hangs on like that little dog, right? Get off my dang leg. Please leave me alone. I don't want to do that. Remember I told you last week, the Apostle Paul even said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those I find myself doing. But today, if you desire to no longer live as a slave to sin, raise your hands in agreement. Anybody, I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. Well, first let me tell you, you're not. You are no longer a slave to sin. Say it with me. Say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Amen. Now, to no longer be a slave to sin, some things have to die first. The first thing that has to die is you. And you said, I'm coming to church to get life, and he's telling me I gotta die. Who knew? I come to church today to die. Today's your day. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in his death, we will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified, that means killed, with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Listen, when you were under the law, you were a slave to sin. The law was a reminder of your sin. The law is like a mirror. We look in the mirror to see how bad we really are, right? And you go, wow, man, I'm terrible. I've committed, I think, all but one of the 10. And according to the New Testament, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, then you've committed murder in your heart. So according to that, I've committed all of them. Anybody else, right? The law was there to remind us how bad we were. But I want you to know what religious people typically do is we take things like the law and we keep adding to them to make them even more stringent. Like as if the 10 wasn't enough. Right? I don't know about you, but the 10's plenty, right? We don't need more. But the Jews, they took the 10 and added 617 to the 10 to make it 627. They couldn't keep 10. How are you gonna keep 627? The law was a reminder that we're sinners. So religion came and added to the law, as religion always does. And in every religion in the world, man is attempting to be right with a holy God through our righteous actions. But I want you to know, your righteous actions will not get you to heaven. Your righteous actions will not get you right with God. Your righteous actions don't make you holy. The good things you do, the good things you say, I give all my money to the poor. I help this one. I help that one. I cut my neighbor's grass every day for a year. Well, good for you. Amen. But guess what? It doesn't do anything in your relationship with God. God sees those things as just righteous acts. And those righteous acts, he says, are as filthy rags. They're just refuse. They're trash. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, there's a way. You see, the problem is there's a way that appears right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We think, well, these are good things. And there are good things. Nothing wrong with those good things. But those good things don't make you right with God. See, you have to die. You have to, self has to die in order for you to live for God. See, the Christian life is countercultural. What I mean is this. What the world says is right is usually wrong. What the world deems as good is usually bad. What the world says is acceptable is usually unacceptable. So I want you to get this. The kingdom of God doesn't look anything like the world you live in. We have to live in the world, but the Bible says we don't have to be of the world. The only way to live for God is to die to self. Now, Jesus gave a very simple example of the narrowness of following God. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, this is in red letters if you have a red letter edition of the Bible. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. He said, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And here's what he says, only a few find it. So if you're on the road littered with people and their opinions, and those opinions are in direct opposition to the word of God and the way that God's kingdom looks, you're probably on the wrong road. But everybody's doing it. But it's socially acceptable. Doesn't mean it's God acceptable. I'm talking about living in the fullness of grace. I'm talking about living in the abundant life that Jesus paid for. I'm not talking about going to hell and not going to hell. I'm talking about you want to live the abundant life, you got to die. Because see, we think, well, I walked up an aisle, I got baptized in water, I did those religious things, and now why aren't I experiencing all that God is and all that God has? Because you ain't dead yet. I know this is going to be harsh, But I'm saying this because, church, I want you to be free. I want you to walk in the fullness of God. I want a church that every Sunday when you walk in the door, you go, man, dude, let me tell you how blessed I am. Let me tell you what's going on in my life this week. Let me tell you about the supernatural favor of God that is resting over my life and my family. God's word, we remember, never has to change. We do. And we do it by dying to self. How many of you realize when you came to church today it was going to be a day to die? Man, I should have stayed ringing home today. Brother hitting me hard today. But you know what? You know what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? This is, if you were to tell me, Eddie, what's your one favorite verse of the entire Bible? And I had to pick one, this would be it. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to know? That's my verse right there. If you want to break sin's hold on you, you must die. The second thing that must die is your beliefs have to die. Number two, your beliefs have to die. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law but under grace. What happens many times is we become like teenagers with God. We get really literal with the word. Well, I didn't see this really written out in the word of God, and so I just kind of interpret it for myself and do it my own way. Right? About to step on some toes, sorry. We'll look at the law of Moses, right? We'll look at the law of Moses. We say, well, I read the 10, and I didn't see my sin's not listed. Must be okay. You know, there's some parts of Scripture where certain sin is not, it is kind of gray area. We call it gray, right? Because it's not really specific. But I want you to know, I said this years ago. Remember this? I said this years ago. Just because it's gray doesn't mean it's okay. Well, Pastor, I didn't see anything in Scripture specifically about my sin. Read the whole Bible. Not, again, remember this. I'm not talking about going to heaven, not going to heaven. I'm talking about living in the fullness of all that God has. Why aren't I experiencing all these promises in my life? Well, you haven't died, and your belief system has to die with it. Think about this. Let's say today you get ready to pull out of our parking lot and you're not familiar with the street right here, Park Place, but you see a car and he turns out of our parking lot onto the wrong side of the road. And you go, oh, this must be the way to go because other cars are all headed that way. And you pull out and you're on the wrong side of Park Place Drive. And you're cruising along, it's a beautiful sunny day, and it's nice, and all of a sudden there's no cars in front of you, but there's an 18-wheeler barreling down in your lane, and he's headed right at you. He's going fast, and you know, and you're thinking, I'm right. I'm in the correct lane, I'm doing the speed limit, I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. All these other cars were doing it. Well, you can stay right there. Now what's gonna happen next? That truck's gonna roll. But I was right. And you'd be in heaven crying, Jesus, I was right. See, you just followed the wrong crowd. Your beliefs were all wrong. See, you were on the wrong side of the road. If you had moved over to the other side of the road, you'd be alive today. You'd be living. You'd be doing great. How many of you, when you came to Christ, your beliefs were all twisted? Mine were all twisted. I mean, I believed things that were just so far out in left field. And God didn't tell me that day, hey, I tell you what, Pastor Eddie, I wasn't a pastor then. I tell you what, Eddie, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna change the Bible to fit your belief system. How about that? No, he didn't say that. He said, hey, you gotta change your wacky belief system to line up with my word, because my word never changes. And I know it's not easy to change belief system, especially, like, I give you an example. My wife grew up going to a denominational school her entire life. She had been literally indoctrinated, right? And so all of a sudden, we meet Jesus, God, like, I was easy because I had no indoctrination. I had no religious background. I was part of the devil's A-team. My wife, though, was like a good girl most of the time. But she had been indoctrinated, so she had all these funky beliefs that she had a fix and God had a correct. But God didn't let her stay in her funky belief system. Even she had to change her faulty beliefs to line up with the Word of God. Right? And I had to change my wacky beliefs to line up with the Word of God. And we all, if we want to experience all the promises of God, we have to line our beliefs up with His Word. So we get to experience all the fullness of God. Amen? John chapter 8, verses 31 and 2. Jesus, talking to His disciples, said these words. He said, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. If you hold to what? I couldn't hear you. Say it loud. This is my good ear. Say it in my good ear. If you hold to my teaching, not your interpretation of my teaching, He says, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, but it's not until you know the truth that you're set free. While you are living in your lies, while you're living in this faulty belief system, you are walking in the lies, and walking in the lies will keep you in bondage. It'll keep you in bondage to your sin. It'll keep you in bondage to your past. It'll keep you in bondage to religion. It'll keep you in bondage to a lot of different things until you know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Amen? Ultimately, what you believe to be true will affect how you live. Listen, and number three, last but not least, the last thing that has to die is some habits. I'm not going to ask you how many of you got some habits. He said, Romans 6, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer, here it is, look at this, any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Now the word habit just simply means, and you know what a habit is, but I'm going to give you the definition, a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that's hard to give up. Anybody ever? No, don't raise your hand. I had some of those when I first came to Christ, some of those habits, right? And those habits that have been kind of part of who I was so many years. And sometimes our habits can almost become a point of identity for us, right? But you know, Joe, you know, he smokes every time he eats, he smokes. Now, smoking won't send you to hell, just what I'm saying, relax. Oh, he's picking on my sin. You got to be careful when you start picking on particular sins because people get ruffled. Well, you didn't talk about other sins. See, as we continually die to self and we renew our minds to conform to His truth, and we over the lies we believe, we start releasing to God the habits that we are living in that are holding us back. See, some of you have some habits that you may have had a long time, and they've become this point of identity in your life. Those habits are the habits that we hold on to are the very things that are holding us back. You wonder why aren't I living in the fullness? Why am I not receiving all that God has for me over here? Because I'm holding on to some things back here that are bad for me, some things back here that are not God's best. You know, when you tell your kids to quit doing something, do you tell them just quit doing it from a rule standpoint? I don't tell my kids don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, because I'm trying to be a taskmaster. I want what's best for my kids, and I want what God thinks is best for my kids, right? And so when I tell them, hey, do this or don't do that, I'm telling you because I care about you. And when God says, hey, you got to let that go, He's not just trying to be a mean daddy. Golly, God, you're so mean. Always tell me to give something up. Yeah, because I got something better. But if you don't let this go, you can't receive what I have over here, right? You know what I've learned through the years? Is if I'm holding on to something so tight, I'm not willing to let it go, I have no room for God to pour out anything else in my life. I got what I need. I ain't letting this go. I'm holding. Just don't say nothing about in the Bible about that. I'm going to heaven anyway. I'm holding on to my stuff. I don't know why I ain't receiving nothing new, though. Well, if you would just release, open your hands and release those things to God and say, God, I want all that you have. Now fill me. God, pour out your blessing, right? You're no longer a slave to sin because you've been brought from death to life. And now God is saying, this last piece of the puzzle, this last little thing, those little habits that have been a part of you, time to give those up. Now, I'm not going to pick on them. That's between you and God. I'm not here to be your convictor. I'm here to be your preacher, right? You're no longer a slave to sin. As a matter of fact, now you have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin and, listen to me, and to withstand the temptation that sin brings, right? The temptation. Oh, man, here it comes again. Tempted again. You know what? Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, or 2 Corinthians 10, 13, that says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. No temptation. This ain't nothing new. You know, well, this is a new temptation. Jesus never had to deal with this one. Don't kid yourself. This is brand new. This is 2021. Bet they never had these back in the Bible days. Long as people have been alive, they've been having the same temptations. Trust what I'm telling you. Maybe today we just exchange some of the old habits with some new habits. Maybe like some prayer and some Bible study and a little more time with the Lord, you know? Hey, maybe I'll go to church regularly. How about that? I'll do something that's countercultural. See, to no longer be a slave, some things have to die. And this was a hard message for me to prepare this week. Because I don't like stepping on your toes, but listen what I'm telling you. I want you to experience all that God has. Not some. How many of you, I never forget, when I came to Christ, I remember praying this prayer. I prayed this prayer for years. God, I didn't even know what all was yet. I want all that you have for me. I don't want to leave one promise out. I don't want to leave one blessing out. I don't want to leave one good thing that you have for my life out because of something that I'm doing or not doing. So, Lord, continue to show me, and I will continue to conform to the person that you want me to be so I can receive all that you have. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? To no longer be a slave, some things have to die, starting with you, starting with your beliefs, and finally your habits. If you're ready, this is a simple one. If you're ready to just break sin's hold on your life, I want you to join me here at the altar. I'm ready to break the hold of sin in my life. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. Ready to break it. I wish we were singing that song, Hell Just Lost Another One. Hell Just Lost Another One. Heavenly Father, we know for all of us, our residence was transferred the day we said yes to Christ. We transferred from hell to heaven. But God, today, we released upon this congregation the fullness of your grace, the fullness of your mercy. Father, the fullness of your blessing be upon these people today as they follow after you, as they die to self, as they conform their belief system to your beliefs, to your word, to your way. And God, as we release the habits, the things that have been holding us back, we release them to you today. And we say, God, replace those habits with some habits that will draw me close to you. We love you. We give you all our praise today, Lord, because you're so worthy. We say, God, have your way in us as we follow after you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.